Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. The Archbishop of Berlin has a special message of welcome for Pope Benedict XVI as he prepares to set off for a four-day apostolic visit to his homeland. The Papal Nuncio to Germany reveals some behind-the-scenes preparations for the trip and talks about its significance. And our own correspondent, who is already in Berlin awaiting the Pope's arrival, gives us an overview of the trip, focusing on its expected highlights. Where God is, there is future. That's the theme chosen for Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic and state visit to Germany, set to take place from the 22nd to the 25th of September 2011. And as Pope Benedict is busy, I'm sure, wrapping up last-minute preparations for his four-day journey, the Archbishop of Berlin, the city in which the first leg of the papal journey unfolds, sends him warm words of welcome.
The Holy Father is going to be a guest in our archdiocese. That is a great gift for me that I did not deserve. As Archbishop of Berlin, I am glad to welcome the Holy Father.
Rainer Maria Welki was only installed as Archbishop this summer, so one of his first tasks has been to prepare for the arrival of the Pope, who is on his first state visit to Germany.
The first official visit of the German Pope leads him to the capital and thus to the Archdiocese of Berlin. It makes me proud to be a host for Pope Benedict XVI. In the last weeks, I jumped on the bandwagon of preparations and experienced so much cheerful anticipations in the communities and facilities, even by those who are really busy with them. The Holy Father is going to visit a city in which Christians are a minority, and some already announced their protests long time before his arrival. I once again invite everyone to listen first to what the Pope has to say and then to pass judgment. When Benedict XVI is landing in Berlin at September 22, he will be welcomed as the Vatican's head of state as well as the highest priest of the Catholic Church. But he also visits Berlin as a great European, an universal intellectual, and an example of belief. I am convinced that it is worse to listen what he has to say, even as a critical mind, even when not everyone agrees to everything. Although I may accompany the Pope in Berlin, I will not be able to show him much of the Archdiocese of Berlin, but in return he will broaden our perspectives, from our small diocese to the universal church, from our little troubles to the wideness of Catholicism, and from our little faith to Jesus Christ, who is the center of all our troubles and efforts. We welcome you, Holy Father.
Yes, as Archbishop Welki was saying, Berlin is where Pope Benedict will touch down on the morning of the 22nd of September 2011. It promises to be a journey that will offer many interesting and diverse angles and perspectives, as the Pope's four-day schedule is intense. And again, as Archbishop Welki just mentioned, it is his first state visit to his homeland, which means that, alongside the many religious ceremonies and encounters with religious representatives, Pope Benedict will also be meeting and talking to politicians and state representatives as well. Yes, on his very first day, he's scheduled to meet with the President of the Federal Republic of Germany, Christian Wulff, at his residence at Bellevue Castle. Shortly afterwards, he goes to the headquarters of the German Bishops' Conference, where he will receive the welcome of German Chancellor Angela Merkel. And that's only the start of a busy day, because in the afternoon, Pope Benedict is received at Berlin's Reichstag, the federal parliament, where he will be greeted by authorities before meeting with representatives of the Jewish community. All this before celebrating the first Mass of his apostolic visit in Berlin's Olympic Stadium. The following day, that's Friday, the Pope will meet with representatives of the local Muslim community, just ahead of flying to the medieval university city of Erfurt, which became part of the Soviet zone of occupation and East Germany after the Second World War. After reunification in 1990, the city became the capital of the re-established state of Thuringia. By the way, Erfurt is where Martin Luther attended university and received his bachelor's and master's degrees of theology. It's where Luther lived as a student and as a monk from 1505 to 1511. The city is also the birthplace of Johann Sebastian Bach's father, and it's where Johann Pachelbel served as organist and composed some 70 pieces for organ. Here the Pope will visit St. Mary's Cathedral and will address representatives of the German Lutheran Church before participating in an ecumenical celebration with them. In the afternoon he goes by helicopter to the Wallfahrtskapelle, a Marian sanctuary in the woods, after which he will celebrate Vespers nearby. On Saturday, the Pope celebrates Mass at Erfurt's Domplatz Church before flying to the southeastern city of Freiburg to visit the local cathedral and seminary. While in Freiburg, Benedict will meet with the former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl, with representatives from the Orthodox churches, with local seminarians, and with the Central Committee of German Catholics before presiding over a prayer vigil with the youth. On Sunday, the final day of the trip, the Pope will celebrate Mass at the local airport, pray the Angelus, and say Auf Wiedersehen to his fellow countrymen before returning to the Vatican in the evening. This trip will be the Pope's third visit to his homeland since his election, his 21st visit abroad. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the programme, the Archbishop of Berlin, Rainer Maria Welki, is preparing to welcome the Pope to his city. And of course, he is not the only one. Yes, someone else who will be acting as host during the journey is the Apostolic Nuncio to Germany, Archbishop Jean-Claude Périssé, who spoke to Veronica Scaresbrick about what he expects the highlights of the trip to be.
Archbishop Jean-Claude Périssé, your Apostolic Nuncio to Berlin, an interesting city right now as you're going to act host to Benedict XVI on his first state visit to his homeland. This must be an emotional moment for you.
For me, it's an important moment, like for every ambassador, when the head of state is visiting the country where he is accredited. And especially as the Pope comes from Germany, and he comes in his own country in a state visit, this is very important both for himself and for Germany, because the Pope knows the history of Germany, he knows the situation, especially in our days, and he is very aware of his mission to bring Christian values to our society. And therefore, I believe that the visit of Pope Benedict XVI now is a great gift from God not only to the Church of Germany, but to the people of Germany, because he's received in a state visit and the whole country is interested to receive the Pope.
You mentioned this is a visit to the people of Germany. What are the highlights of this visit, in your opinion? Clearly, the keynote address at the Reichstag to address the Bundestag, the federal parliament, is perhaps the most mediatic moment, isn't it?
Every manifestation is important in its own value. And for the people of Germany, certainly, is the speech of the Holy Father to the Bundestag very important, so much so because on the front of the Bundestag itself, everyone may read it, Dem Deutschen Volk, to the German people, because the deputies represented the whole society. And what the Pope has to say is not limited to the deputies and senators. It's over them, addressed to the whole society in Germany. And this is for me very important. But every other meeting, especially the great celebration in Olympia Stadium in Berlin, in Erfurt, in Freiburg, the meeting with the Evangelical Church in Erfurt, in the convent of St. Augustine, where Luther was a monk, every meeting is important in its own signification. So therefore, I would say we will stay during this visit with many high peaks, like in the Alps, where the Pope himself will stay at the level he needs to bring his message as the head of the Catholic Church, responsible for the spreading the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ to everyone at his every place.
You touched there on the theme of this journey, which is a hopeful one. It's strength and force for new evangelization. So looking to the future, actually, indicating an openness to dialogue with people of all faiths and cultures. Would you agree that it provides a leitmotiv to this four-day whirlwind visit, which takes him to three different cities?
We must only consider other visits of the Pope, and already before from Paul VI and John Paul II, they always bring values which are necessary for the future. And the theme of the visit of Pope Benedict to Germany, "Where God is, there is future," is a quotation of his homily in Mariazell in Austria 4 years ago. And I believe this is what the society needs, especially now when we have not only economical and financial crisis, we have difficulties with ecology. Many people don't see any future in their own life. So therefore, if we go ahead with God values, we are sure that we have a future. And for me, this is the main point, and it's like red line on all the visits of the Pope. We will be strengthened in our social and Christian values so that we may hope that here on earth, we will really enjoy a better life if we abide by Christ's teaching.
I'd like to mention that this journey comes at a historical moment. It comes 21 years since the reunification process. Has this impacted at an ecclesial level?
Yes, and this is why the Pope, starting in Berlin, which was divided up to the end of 89, and after he goes to Erfurt, which belonged to the DDR, so, and after to Freiburg in the down the southwest, it means the visit itself is a sign of unity of Germany. And we must also remember that Professor Ratzinger came to Erfurt for some special lectures to the seminarians at that time, because he took also care of young seminarists who were preparing themselves in such difficult conditions. And it was not easy to organize such a trip. So let us believe that for the Pope is like sign that history has future when we have patience and when we live with God's help in our everyday life. And the history proves that where God is, there is future.
How do you think it will impact on Catholics in Germany in the long term?
Not only on Catholic in Germany, on Catholic of the whole world, and the whole society in Germany. We must never limit what means the ministry of the Pope to strengthen his brothers and sisters in faith, because this is the responsibility entrusted by Christ to Peter and to the apostles. Therefore, I am very confident that we will be not only with a new impulse, but we will be strengthen in our faith. Where we stay on the rock of faith, we will certainly develop a better life in our faith and in what we have to do as Christians in the society. And this is straight in line with the new evangelization of whom Pope Benedict, after Pope John Paul II, is a great promoter.
You mentioned Pope John Paul II there, now blessed. Benedict follows in the footsteps of a pope from Eastern Europe who didn't have an easy time as Roman pontiff on his visit to Germany. In your opinion, does the fact that our current pope is a son of the nation impact on the image of a Roman pontiff in Germany?
Yes, certainly, because he belongs to the German society from Bayern. And here he was professor in different places in all over Germany. And he left already a profound impression on theologians and youngsters who came to listen his lectures, and not only for students of theology. And therefore, I believe when he comes now for the whole of Germany as the Supreme Pontiff, he will have a great impact to renew all that. And many people will read again some works, some books, some sermons he had given, and maybe they still had on the shelves in their own library. This is something for today's life, an impact of which we cannot measure now exactly the implication.
Tell me a little bit about the Catholic Church in Germany. The numbers seem to be dwindling in a big way. Could you identify some of the reasons for this?
Not only in Germany, unfortunately, everywhere. And what is this? I used to say it's like the cancer, which is much more dangerous as it's the consumismus of today's life, much more dangerous than the communismus, because communismus, we could identify itself and react. With consumismus, we let us ourselves be attacked. And when we notice, it's too late. And I believe not only the society in Germany, certainly the diminution of members who accept to recognize themselves as members of the church has diminished because of some decision being in Rome or of some facts being in Germany and not only in Germany with sexual abuse of children in institutions of the church. But the reaction of the authorities, religious authorities in Germany, proves that we don't lose hope that we may reestablish a strong and firm position of the church within the German society.
To end on a positive note, what would you identify as the strengths of the church in Germany? I heard there's a strong and organized laity there.
For me, the strength of the church in Germany is the conviction that the church has a great history and that the actual generations is the receiver of this tradition. And I see this especially as a nuncio when I am invited to celebrate events where down this to 1,000 years ago, every local community wants to remember that. And as the society is organized with participation and collaborations of lay people, I believe the strength is great. When we think that the Catholic Church has 500,000 of employees in church facilities, especially education and health services, this is a great sign. And there are a lot of other organizations, like, for instance, the Schützenverein for this is a sport event, and they want at parochial level to be together and they celebrate the patronal fest and so on. And this makes a great participation of people everywhere. The same, there are confraternities, there are also the Malteser service, like the Red Cross.
The Order of Malta.
Level. Yeah, it's under the Order of Malta, but it's a special service of volunteers who come to be at service of others. All that means a lot of vitality in the church in Germany.
Thank you very much, Archbishop Perisset. Would you like to add anything?
I would like to add only one thing, that the visit of the Pope must be considered in itself, not only with what negative aspects coming from outside. They exist, but we must be confident that the Pope comes not alone. He's sent by Christ, and the Holy Spirit is always upon him and upon us.
That was Veronica Scaresbrick talking to the Apostolic Nuncio to Germany, Archbishop Jean-Claude Perisset. And now we listen to Veronica herself, who is currently in Berlin awaiting the Pope's arrival, as she talks to Susie Hodges about her own expectations, considerations and insights on the eve of Benedict XVI's arrival in Berlin.
Pope Benedict's four-day state visit to Germany this week marks the third time he returns to his homeland since his election to the papacy. It promises to be a very busy visit, with the Pope attending 28 different events and pronouncing no fewer than 17 speeches over the next 4 days. Our correspondent who will be covering this papal visit is Veronica Scarisbrick. I sat down with her just before her departure for Berlin to find out more about the main themes of this papal visit and talk about where he will be going and what he will be doing during his 4 days in Germany.
Well, before I start talking about the themes, I'd like to say that this is his first state visit. The previous two trips back home, which you talk about, were in 2005, World Youth Day in Cologne, which he picked up from his predecessor to the See of Peter, John Paul II. And then a year later, his personal pilgrimage to Bavaria, where he grew up and where he later became Archbishop. Going back to the trip itself, the organisation of it, this is a very complex and charged visit, both in terms of content and logistics. Just think, Susie, 28 events and 17 speeches.
That's a lot in 4 days.
And then it takes him all around Germany, because he begins in the capital, Berlin, and then he goes south, east to Erfurt, which was in former Eastern Europe, when is the land of Luther, and then southwest to Freiburg, perhaps the most Catholic part of the trip, if you wish.
And he's also going to be having a series of meetings of an interfaith and ecumenical nature, isn't he? Can you tell us something about that?
Yes, this visit, which, as I said, has as theme where God is, there is the future, is tied to new evangelization. There's a synod coming up in the autumn here in the Vatican, and it's almost like the Pope wanted to lead up to this on his own home turf. As we know, he's passionate about this theme. He likes to break down barriers between people, whether Catholics or non-Catholics. So there's a strong ecumenical and interfaith leitmotiv to the visit. Clearly, he'd be meeting Protestants. Well, you know, the Protestants and Catholics have the lion's share of religion in Germany, so to speak. But he'd also be meeting with the Orthodox, Jewish representatives and Muslim representatives. The latter two he'll be meeting with in Berlin.
He's also due to meet, of course, as you say, given that this is a state visit, with the German political leaders and even a former German Chancellor, Helmut Kohl. What are likely to be some of the themes that could be touched on during those encounters?
Well, I have no idea, Susie, but obviously he's very keen to stress Europe's Christian roots. One of the things that he'll be doing is speaking at the Bundestag, the federal parliament's lower house. And as I say, you know, he might speak about the national identity of Germans, but who knows? This marks the third time a pope addresses parliament, so it's a bit of a historical event. The only previous such occasions were with Pope John Paul II in Warsaw and in Rome.
Do we know the reasons why he is meeting the former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl? Is there a special reason behind this?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, actually, because it's the Pope who wished to meet with the former federal Chancellor Helmut Kohl. Of course, he was the man who architected the reunification process in Germany in 1990, and he was also instrumental in promoting Europe back in Germany, but also with François Mitterrand, the French president.
These cities where after Berlin he's going to Erfurt and Freiburg, they're not particularly well known outside Germany. Is there any particular reason why he's going there?
No, I think that Erfurt for tourists in our Western world is slightly off the map, because it was in former Eastern Germany. The reason we know about Erfurt, perhaps most of all, is because it was evangelized by St. Boniface, the Anglo-Saxon missionary, in 742. But this time, of course, the Pope is meeting with representatives of the EKD, an umbrella group for the Reformed, United and Lutheran churches, simply because Erfurt is where Luther lived and worked. And the timing is especially significant, as in 2017 there's a special anniversary coming up, 5 centuries since the Reformation began.
And what about Freiburg? Why has he chosen to go there? Do we know?
Freiburg is yet again a completely different venue. It's perhaps of all the places that the Pope visits, Berlin is a bit of a pagan city, they say. Erfurt is well known because Luther lived there. But although it has a Catholic slant to it because it's where the Catholics in eastern Germany kept the faith alive. But perhaps the most Catholic of these, the perception that Freiburg is the most Catholic of these. In fact, he has a lot of ecclesial meetings there. He'll be meeting with representatives of the Central Committee of German Catholics, a group which wields great influence in Germany. There are the members of the committee are active in moral, social and ethical debate, expressing their Christian convictions and their application to issues of a political and social dimension. Their perception of political and social responsibility goes so far as to take a critical position in terms of legal development and in debating the passing of new laws. The striking thing is that the Central Committee does this in ecumenical collaboration and even with other social forces such as the trade unions.
Now, as you say, there's many, many events, but on Friday there's going to be a prayer vigil with young people in Freiburg. Do we know what are likely to be the themes that could be touched on? What are some of the sort of burning issues as far as young people within the German church are concerned?
Well, I mean, Germany is a very secular, has a very secular society, so I think it's the same kind of themes that other young people have in Europe. But I think the significant thing is that the Pope basically ends his journey in Freiburg. And, of course, young people are the future. And the theme of the journey is where God is, there is the future.
Sunday being the final day of his trip, and he's going to be celebrating an open-air mass before taking his leave of his homeland. Is this likely to be the biggest event where we see the most people?
No, I think, obviously, we'll see the most people in Berlin, also because it's so close to Poland. German Catholics have made a point of organising at a diocesan level to go to the mass in Berlin from all parts of Germany. So not only will you have a German contingent, but you'll also have Polish faithful. Let's recall how Berlin is only 80 kilometres from Poland.
Indeed, it's very close.
So then that will be a mass at the Olympia Stadion in Berlin.
Well, as I mentioned before, Veronica, this is the Pope's third trip to Germany since he became Pope. But is there any particular theme or any reason why this particular period was chosen for this visit?
Well, it's curious you should ask that, Susie, because it's actually not tied to a specific occasion or anniversary. It's actually something the Pope's been wanting to do for the past 6 years. He wanted to go back home on a state visit as opposed to the previous two which we talked about earlier. And it comes at a complex moment in Germany's history. There's a complex political scenario, as you know, partly connected to the European currency. And also at an ecclesial level, there are internal tensions within the Catholic Church. A curiosity, Susie, the Pope's entourage will have a German imprint to it and will include, I think, almost all of his closest advisers from the Vatican who are fellow nationals beyond the usual entourage.
That was Susie Hodges speaking to Veronica Scarsbrick, our correspondent in Germany during the papal visit to his homeland. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.